Hello, listeners. It's great to be here this evening with a Cincinnati icon, as far as I'm concerned, in the jazz world and the music world around town, Mr. Bobby Sharp, known for playing high and low, near and far with his orange-clad trio. And Bobby, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. It's great to have you here. Bobby's a drummer who's been in the trenches playing gig after gig after gig for, we're going to say 40 years, but he doesn't want to refer to that, so we won't. Bobby, are you a native of Cincinnati?
Yep.
And how'd you get started playing around town?
Well, I went to a little school in Madera, and I was going to start in fifth grade with everybody else, but because I played accordion when I was in the third grade and stopped, my parents said, you better wait a year. I said, okay. Start in sixth grade now. Now, it's naturally, I'm a year behind everybody, so Charlie Medit says, you need to go study with this guy, who is Steve Strider. So anybody listening that's ever picked up a drumstick in town or went to Indian Hill High School knows the legendary Steve Strider, who started teaching me how to play, introduced me to Miles Davis, John Bonham, and just kept you excited about playing all the time. Mm-hmm. So it was a cool thing. I don't know why I picked drums, but I did, and I haven't been able to separate myself from that.
Who have been some of your influences over the years?
Well, started with Brubeck. Parents had a collection of some of the big band stuff, but then Brubeck at that time was very popular in the college scene. Next thing you know, I find this guy, Miles Davis, and after that, I was hooked. You know, I mean, anything Miles did, anybody that played with Miles to this very day is like, and I'm sure that's no different than a lot of guys in town who play. That's where it started, and in fact, I think I could recite the trumpet lines easier than I could the drum parts when I started out, because it was just so beautiful and really drew me in.
Let's talk about those drums that you play and tell us about the evolution of your current kit. What are you playing now?
Well, right now I went back to playing my very first drum set that I got new. Before that, I had a used set with a huge bass drum and, you know, logo on the front and all that stuff. But my first drum set was Ludwig with a 2012-14 in just plain black. And I'd used it through the years. It beat up as anyway. We were doing some pop stuff with the Souls of Orange. And I went back to playing that because we were playing this little gig outside. And I thought, oh, my God, this has been in the basement. And along, as you know, with many other drums. So I have many choices and options, but that's the one I'm playing right now.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I know you're always involved in numerous things. I think you mentioned as we were chatting earlier that you're involved. You kind of have three groups right now. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, the Jazz Trio, which is can be various people, of course.
Let's talk about that. As a guy who's a consummate working musician around town, tell our listeners about the concept of the Bobby Sharp Trio. We would expect you to have so-and-so on bass and so-and-so on guitar maybe and so-and-so on drums, which would be yourself. But that's not the way it works, is it?
Well, that's the way it was for many years. I've always liked the B3 sound. And a young player, I say young, he's younger than me, but he's got multiple CDs out. Danny Carlsberg plays organ. So that lets us have the left hand with the bass, and Sandy Suskin plays flute and sax. So now the trio is those particular guys, unless somebody wants piano, bass, and drums. But that's what we've been doing and kind of centering around that, and it works really well.
And what other projects are you involved in?
The Souls of Orange is a pop rock group. When it's the electric side, Roger Klug on guitar and Dean Middleton on bass, and then Dave Ridenour on the acoustic side. So one of those guys will front the group, depending on where we are and who's available. And David does more, almost the same songs, but in an acoustic manner. So it's a little more low-key. All these guys have projects where it's their own music. You know, they're writing, they're playing, you know, that stuff. And we do the things that I do. We're playing for people in maybe a restaurant setting, maybe a restaurant bar, a private party. And we try and provide the right texture for what's going on. So a lot of times a jazz trio would be hired to play the first couple hours, greeting cocktail hour in the dinner. And then they might choose to have the other band come on after that, or I can combine them together so we can play the whole evening. But it's mainly catering to what they want rather than presenting your product. You know, like Roger's got a great power trio. Danny just finished a thing called Natty, which is a tribute to Cohesion and the Jazz Disciples. What we do with my groups is provide an environment with a texture. You can listen to us. You may not want to listen to us. You can still talk, you know.
And something pops into my mind. I know that you played the Awakenings Coffee House in Hyde Park for, I want to say decades, but I don't want to offend you. How long did that job go on for the Bobby Sharp Trio?
15 years.
Was that one night a week?
Sometimes it was two, most of the time one.
What's that like? It just becomes like going to work. Is that correct?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I was very fortunate to have really wonderful players there who came in wanting to play. Bugsy, the guitar player, used to call it the Roberto plan. And we stuck with my plan of operation, which was nothing the same tempo back-to-back, nothing in the same key back-to-back, don't play any ballads the first set. Then, you know, we wouldn't play three jazz tunes at the same tempo back-to-back. We would play maybe a jazz thing, then a Latin tune. And that's when Bugsy coined it the Roberto plan, because we would always change things.
So as a club musician, you want to mix it up.
I'd call a tune. He said, no, that's a key violation. We didn't want to do the same key back to back because the listener isn't listening for the song in the same key. But if you play the same texture for too long, you lose them. It just was common sense to me. And I came out of a background where you talk about going to work on Sunday night. Well, we played 5-6 nights a week. Every hotel in town, especially the Holiday Inns, had some sort of entertainment. And you worked every night for 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, Bobby, what's coming up?
Well, the Souls of Orange are doing a gig out at the Firehouse Grill. Yeah, that's out in Blue Ash on August 26th. And then the jazz group is at Washington Platform October 3rd. And it's the trio plus one, which a friend reminded me it's the quartet now. So it's Danny, Sandy, and I, and Jennifer Ellis will be singing with us there. And then that same group does Loveland Arts on Main in December 12th, and that's open to the public. It's a big art gallery situation.
That's terrific. This has been a pleasure to talk with you this evening, Bobby, a longtime friend and a great drummer. And I think you've given our listeners a great glimpse into what it's like to be out there in the trenches, banging on those skins 4 or 5 nights a week. And we really appreciate you coming down here.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank you again for not asking me how many's in my trio.
Listen, you'll find a link to Bobby's website at our website, which is wvxu.org. And this is Stuart Holman for Around Cincinnati.